It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to the Bible study segment of our program today. Beth Seifert is back at the table, and we've got a very special Bible study for you today. It has a little something extra. We're going to unfold that as we go along here. Beth, welcome back, and we are in, finally, Philippians. We've turned a page. We're in chapter 3. What are we going to be learning about today?
Yes, today we are in chapter 3, and today we are going to get to hear Paul repeat himself a little bit, which is good. And we're going to get to see a little bit more about Christ and the work that Christ has already done in Paul. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 today. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, there's a song that can't help but come into my mind as I read these verses, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a little bit, so just hold on to that thought. But Paul is sharing with the Philippians a well-documented psychological fact. Repetition is really good. The more we hear something, the more we see something, the more we repeat something, the more that something will stick with us. It's a safeguard, too, against misunderstanding. After all, when you've memorized something, it's much harder to unlearn that thing, which is why it is so important to learn things the right way from the beginning. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a strange segue, but I see this all the time when I'm teaching swimming, especially the kids who have been in the water but have learned it wrong. I spend a good portion of my time helping kids unlearn bad habits and relearn good habits in swimming. And Paul, repeating himself here, is doing so in an effort to help us all to have God's word firmly written on our hearts correctly, not incorrectly. Much less confusion comes if you start out on the right track and continue on it. So after telling them that he's happy to keep repeating himself, Paul gives them information he's already told them. Be careful of those who oppose the gospel, those who do evil and distort things that once had meaning until they become meaningless. These evildoers had so distorted the reason for and the importance of circumcision as to make it merely a useless cutting of the body. The evildoers place so much importance on who is circumcised being the chosen, and they reject any who are not of Israel and who are not circumcised. But remember, when we talked about Ruth, we saw that Christ was already opening the door for the Gentiles. His ancestors, two of his ancestresses, were women who were of foreign nations who had questionable reputations. And Christ accepted them as his lineage. That's who he chose to be born through. Christ opened the door for the Gentiles, for the uncircumcised, to enter into relationship with him and into heaven. And these evildoers are saying that circumcision is necessary. It is not through anything we can do, anything of the flesh, that will save us. Nothing. It is entirely through the grace of God that we are saved. No action or deed, no cutting or denying of yourself will save you. Then Paul lists his qualifications. These would impress any Jew converted to Christianity or not of today. He had done everything right, even before he could take action on his own behalf when it was his parents who brought him to be circumcised on the eighth day, and he was born into the right family. He did everything by the book. He had every reason to boast in himself. All the rules had been followed. He was from the right tribe. He was educated and knew the law of the Old Testament. In addition to the subtext that men had added, he was a Pharisee. By human standards, Paul was a fine specimen of Judaism. However, Paul's perfection was actually what took him away from God, not toward him. Paul trusted in his own ability to keep the law. He trusted in his own works and qualifications to save himself. Until that day on the road to Damascus when he learned who Jesus really was, and his life changed. His former life prevented him from trusting in Jesus because he'd been taught to trust in himself and his own ability to control himself and to follow the rules. Now, Paul can see that righteousness comes from God and is by faith, not by anything that Paul did. He can see the true worth in Christ and also his need for Christ above all else, to the point that Christ is all he needs, and Paul knows it. What Paul realizes and shares with the church in Philippi is that all the things of his former life were not merely less preferable to his life with Christ. His former life was worthless. It was completely self-centered. It was dressed as God-centered, but in reality, it was entirely legalistic. Paul now talks of the reality of Christ dying and being resurrected for him, for you, for me. Paul is ready to suffer with and for Christ and Christ's purpose, even to the point of death. He can see the worthlessness of his former life to such a point that he knows dying is not a bad thing, and dying for Christ is good all the way around. Paul doesn't doubt his own salvation or his own resurrection to heaven with Christ, yet he still does not want to be guilty of presumption. He knows what Christ has promised, and he holds tight to that promise while striving daily to do what God wants him to do. Do you see that? Do you see your life before Christ as worthless? Or do you look and go, well, I was a good person then. I'm just a better person now. Sin separates us from God. Any sin. Every sin. For our sins, we all deserve death. We deserve death and hell. That's the default. God doesn't send people to hell, as some want to say. God is the only way out of hell. We're all going to hell without his son. We are already heading there, and he's the one who reaches down and pulls us out. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it is freely given to us anyway because of his grace and his mercy. Not because we are so good, but because he is so good. And I love the last verses of this where Paul talks about how he wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He wants to know more and more and more about his Savior. Do you see that? Are you living like someone who has been rescued from the pit? Are you living like someone who has received a pardon from a death sentence? Or someone who's received a promotion? A promotion focuses on self, says, I earned it. A pardon focuses on the one who pardoned you, God. If you're not focused on the rescue that's already been provided for you today, it's time to make sure that your mind is back in line with Christ.
Oh, Beth, great reminder, wonderful lesson today. Ladies, we've got that special treat for you. We are going to put the link up to the song that Beth mentioned, I Want to Know You, Lord. In fact, that's the lesson title of today's Bible study lesson. So go to our Bible Studies tab and scroll down through the Philippians, and you'll find that link there. I Want to Know You, Lord. Beth, thank you so much for being at the table. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.